Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 170 on October 10th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine. Just go to patreon.com/rubyryder or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And remember, an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys can be purchased from that little black dress of pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRyder. Be sure to use that coupon code RYDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's R-Y-D-E-R. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, a couple of announcements. One is that, you know, at the end of every podcast, I say send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com, right? Well, you can also send pictures. Someone actually just wrote me and said, you know, I have a really sexy picture of my wife and, you know, totally full consent and everything, and I would love to send that to you to use on your website. And he actually said, he thought maybe I was running short of sexy pegging pictures because the last few pictures that I've put up have not been sexy. They have been, well, you know, last time it was about the vagus nerve and the diagrams and stuff like that. So he thought I was running short. I'm not running short. I do glean those pictures from several Tumblr sites. But at the same time, I would love to have personalized photos. Sometime back, I had this beautiful picture of a cock in a metal chastity cage, and that came from a listener. So if there's a picture of pegging that you really like of you and your partner and you have full consent, and I'm not talking about you had full consent with the ex, I'm talking about current full consent. And if it's something that is not showing insertion, I can put it up on Patreon. Otherwise, I will have to just put a link to it. But of course, anything can go up on my blog. So yes, I just wanted to extend an offer to please send those pictures in if you have any desire to, if you have any favorite pictures you want to add to peggingparadise.com, I'd be honored to receive them. Next announcement, kinkly.com, K-I-N-K-L-Y, is a pretty cool website, and they have a sex blogging superheroes contest every year. And usually at some point in time, I have a shameless request for votes. So that starts now, because voting actually started October 2nd, and I would love to have your vote. All you have to do is go to the blog post for this podcast, and there'll be a link there. Or if you don't access this podcast from the blog at all, just go to kinkly.com, and that's spelled K-I-N-K-L-Y, and you will see a tab up top that says Sex Blogs. If you click that, I am number 20. They have a whole list of sex blogs. And so if you click on number 20, there is a little button there that says vote. You don't have to register. You don't have to give them any information, none of that stuff. All you have to do is go there, click the little button that says vote, and I would very much appreciate your vote. So there you have it. And when they decide who the winners are and where I am in that lineup, I will let you know. Last year, a whole bunch of people voted for me, and I ended up coming in at number 20, which blew my mind because there's a lot of sex bloggers out there, and I was honored. I was totally honored. Okay, so a Patreon update. Yes, another patron.
Yes.
This one came with a message. Hello, happy to hear your podcasts and share them with my lady. Pledged on Patreon today at $10 a month. Happy to help you continue the important work you're doing. We both love pegging, and it has become an amazing part of bringing us even closer through its intimacy. We are equal partners, and when I give myself completely to her, she knows I'm forever her man. It's actually let her trust me even more, when I take her, because our trust is real and proven, and she knows I appreciate the mindset of both sides. Thanks from Connecticut, and it's signed B and A. Thank you, B and A, for that generous pledge. I really, really appreciate your patronage. And from all the way across the country, Connecticut. Yes, I'm waving at you all the way from California. Thanks for the note, too. It's always wonderful to hear that pegging brings couples closer together, and why that is, how they see that it has brought them closer together. So, seeing both sides of it, yes, I totally get that. Thanks again. Okay, so now I have a surprise for you. You may or may not have heard me talking about this. Remember back in podcast number 146, I interviewed Michelle, and we talked about her participation in a pegging gangbang, her first, and the guy's first too, right? It was so much great information that I ended up doing a two-part podcast. It got a lot of attention. So many people really enjoyed it, not just because it's a titillating idea to think about having a pegging gangbang, but because Michelle really looks deeply at things and some of her reflections on how it happened and why it happened and how you can have something like that happen for yourself, I absolutely loved, and so many of my listeners did as well. So, what do we have today? We have the story from the guy's point of view. Seriously, he wrote something up and put it on FetLife and sent me the link. And I finally got back to him and said, look, I'd love to read that on my podcast. May I please? And he was amenable to the idea. So here you go. This is the story from his point of view. Now, if you haven't heard podcast number 146 and you're just finding this podcast and listening to it, go back and listen to that first because it'll give you some lovely background and then you'll get to hear like the whole story, right? Okay, here we go. Several months ago, I was invited to a gangbang group and accepted, despite never really being a part of one. I casually posted in this group about a fantasy that I always had about being gangbanged myself by a group of women slash people with strap-ons, and if anyone else had ever thought about this. I began getting responses from friends and other members of the group saying that they would be interested in participating this with me by posting on the board and by sending me private messages, which I do not frequently get on FetLife. This was very shocking and exciting for me. This wasn't just people I had previously done scenes with in the past, but strangers, acquaintances, and a few people who I had crushes on that I would have been too nervous to even talk to or personally invite. Once I found out that I could make this fantasy come true, I decided to start to plan. I first found several people who I knew that had messaged me and communicated with my partners about planning the event to see if they were comfortable with it, which they were. I then messaged everyone about a date in the future that would work for everyone and booked the hotel room a month ahead of time. This ended up being essential, as I planned it during Art Prize, and the prices doubled all over town the week before the event. I meticulously created a consent form that I sent out to all interested parties to give them a little background knowledge on what I was expecting, while trying to learn more about them, including their preferred pronouns, titles, hard limits, and interests other than pegging that they might want to try during the gangbang. I got responses with insightful information, making everything feel more real. I worked out for a few weeks beforehand, trying to get into better shape. I also researched steps to take before a gangbang to better prevent mishap. I watched what I ate the few days before, I cleaned myself out the night before and morning of, got a pedicure, and set up the room. I decided to get the suite with an extra area for lounging with a couch, and decided to bypass the smaller jacuzzi suite. I bought a few bottles of wine, parentheses not enough, and whiskey. Got some fancy cheeses and some chocolate as well. I laid out the rope and other toys, installed the under-the-bed harness, brushed my teeth, and got some ice. I initially invited 6 people to participate, but unfortunately 2 of them were unavailable to attend. My wife, who I shall name Ms. J, was one of the participants, and she was the first one to arrive. The second woman to arrive, who I shall call Ms. L., arrived while I was getting ice. She was an acquaintance who is a very well-known member of the polyamory and kink communities. She was one of the people I was surprised, yet excited to hear from. She was in a beautiful form-fitting dress and was wearing some sexy thigh-high stockings as well. She had been told by a partner about my interest in thigh-high stockings and socks, and she was so kind to oblige me by wearing an exceptionally sexy pair. The third person to arrive, who I shall call Ms. M., was a woman who I was submissive to for several years, and I have a wonderful relationship with. She is a very sexy woman who I have had many pegging experiences with in the past. She has given me some of the most mind-bending orgasms I have ever had. I was very excited for her to be in attendance, as we have great sexual chemistry with one another, and it had been too long since we had had a scene together. The final woman to arrive, who I shall call Ms. B., was another acquaintance who happened to take me by total surprise when she messaged me, saying that she was interested in participating. She was wearing a pair of sexy high heels that made her intimidatingly tall. I am 6'2", and she was now towering several inches taller than me. She was wearing a very sexy corset, and her makeup was beautifully done. The group began our evening by sitting around and talking for an hour or so, having some drinks, chocolates, and a small variety of cheeses. It was a very comfortable setting. I began giving back and foot massages. I love giving foot massages, which fortunately turned into some foot worship, kissing, and sucking bare and stockinged feet, and then into heel worship. Licking gorgeous shoes and sucking on heels is extremely erotic to me. I was fitted with some lovely leather rapture ankle and wrist cuffs. This is when the participants and I started to get excited. The other participants began trying on their harnesses and attaching their cocks, purple, blue, skin tone, and lifelike in a variety of sizes. They circled around to compare with one another and take a few pictures, and then they were kind and let me in the middle of their circle, and I got to start to lick their cocks. The participant who was last to arrive, tall, blonde, and beautiful, put some lipstick on me to see how far I could deep-throat several of their cocks while they sat on the couch drinking wine in their sexy outfits, plotting what to do next. Unfortunately, the amount of wine I brought was inadequate, and we were shorthanded. Sorry again. Ms. L. decided to initiate going into the bed area and getting started. After all, we were there for a gangbang, and it was time to get started. While having a hood placed over my head, I realized that this wasn't necessarily going to go like the gangbang videos that I had seen on porn sites. This was much better, more passionate, personal, and kinky. Earplugs, a hood, and a blindfold were placed on me, and I was led to the bed. I was restrained to the bed by under-the-bed restraints, and many toys were thrown on me. It was decided that binding my hand and ankle cuffs together was a superior idea, as it would leave my thighs and ass more accessible. I was surrounded and loving every minute, my heart racing and adrenaline pumping. My thighs, chest, cock, and balls were now subject to a sensory impact session from all directions, from a fun session of quad-topping, not knowing from whom or from where each strike was occurring. I was trying to place my thank yous appropriately, but eventually gave up with the formalities. While being flogged, one of the tops mounted my chest and began giving me the honor of face-fucking me. After an unknown period of time, where I was graciously used as a toy for four beautiful women, the inserting began. A shot of lube in my ass with an anal play syringe led the way to someone's fingers. My breathing began to become more rapid, and then I was shocked to feel something cold and slightly jagged enter me. Ice cubes. Interesting. Cold. Unexpected. I had a toy that I have never experienced inserted into me that was cold and metallic, but it felt amazing. It was a pure wand that I thoroughly enjoyed. This was a warm-up to Ms. L. I have been pegged by Ms. L. before, but it had been quite some time. After being fucked for some time, my body was glowing, and I could feel the energy of everyone around me as I squirmed, while my wrists were still restrained to my ankles. At this point, I felt such a pressure on my prostate, and my body was overwhelmed with pleasure and pressure. I was moaning, and while being blindfolded and having earplugs in, my body was reacting in unfamiliar ways. I felt that I had peed a little bit on myself and embarrassed asked to go to the bathroom. While cleaning up, I realized it was a discharge from my cock having my ass fucked and my prostate milked and not actual peeing. This was fairly new to me, having my cock milked from getting pegged without direct stimulation. I cleaned up, awkwardly went pee with a raging erection, and returned to my awaiting goddesses. At this point, my arms were restrained back to the bed, my face down, without being able to be propped up. My ass was up in the air at the edge of the bed, and I was ready for more. Ms. M. was now ready and was eager to be inside of me. Ms. L. put my head in her lap and began to face-fuck me as I was being fucked in the ass. Spit-roasted and vulnerable, they were in control, and I was happy to give myself to them. They high-fived, and I was officially Eiffel Towered. Being used from both ends was the highlight of my night. Intense pleasure from being pegged and gagging on a cock being pushed down my throat as my arms were still restrained. Ms. J. now took over and took Ms. M.'s place, while Ms. M. took Ms. L.'s place in letting me suck her cock. Ms. J. was fucking me like she'd been doing it for years, and I was loving it. This isn't something that we have done a lot together, but it is something that we will do more after this event. Everyone was getting a little tired, and a break was to be had soon. While getting fucked, a pizza was ordered. It can't be a gangbang without a pizza delivery guy. After Ms. J was done and food was being ordered, Ms. B began some more impact play on me as I sat bent over the bed. She was the only one who had not had her turn, and I was hungry for her to be inside of me. She has a sadistic side that is extremely sexy and very becoming. I looked back at her, looked her in the eyes, and told her that I wanted her inside me. She looked back at me and slapped my ass and put her hands on my hips. She began to push inside of me, and this is where it was verified that her cock was the biggest of all. I am glad that I took her last. Even though I had been fucked all night, I was filled with a wave of intensity as she filled me up, my back arching as she began to fuck me. As she fucked me, the other three were watching while lounging and recovering in the spare area, which I was grateful for having. A knock on the music that we were listening to made us reel back and head into the bathroom, but it was not the pizza man. We hurried back to the bed, and she continued to fuck me ruthlessly. Then there was an actual knock. Ms. B. did not stop fucking me, and it felt so euphoric I did not want her to stop. Ms. M. headed to the bathroom, and Ms. J. went to get the pizza. She quickly paid and grabbed the food in the hall, but the pizza man did not leave. He asked if there was anything else he could do for her. Perhaps he heard sounds, but unfortunately for him, he was turned away. After being fucked for a while longer, we all finished and ate some pizza. Ms. M. and Ms. L. left, and hugs were given. I was so incredibly grateful for them fulfilling my greatest fantasy and built a stronger relationship with both of them. Ms. J, Ms. B, and I hung out on the bed, and a little cuddling and aftercare was provided as we chatted and bonded for a while. After Ms. B left, Ms. J and I laid down, and I quickly fell asleep. There was no orgasm for me that night, and I did not even realize it until the next day. I put my orgasm in the hands of those who gave me my fantasy, and they decided it was not in the cards. It was not needed. The amount of physical pleasure attained that night was astronomical, and my mind was on a previously unmatched level. If I had one word to sum up my experience, it would be honored. It was an amazing, humbling experience that blew away my expectations. Creating relationships made this experience happen for me. Going to events, talking to people, making friends, and careful planning made this all happen. It was a memory that I will cherish forever, especially nights where I am alone, and I am forever grateful to those who were kind enough to participate and make my fantasy a reality. It took me quite some time to write this, as writing it brought back memories that were very distracting, but I am happy to share in my experience. Thank you again to those who participated, and thank you for reading this. For the next one, if I may be so bold, another bottom would be fun to have there. Anyone doing anything this spring or summer? Oh, yes. What a lovely read. Oh my gosh, what a lovely descriptive read of how that was for you. And I can see why you felt honored. You had so much attention paid to you for so long, in exactly the ways that you were so wanting. Wow. So this, combined with Michelle's description of everything, was amazing. Gives such a great view of how it was a cozier thing than one might imagine. Like you said, from looking at like the pegging porn thing, you said that at the very beginning, you realized it was going to be better because there was more intimacy. And it sounds like there was just more connection. And even though I know from Michelle's interview that some of you didn't know each other before this, it sounded like it just really exceeded expectations in terms of everything working out perfectly. I seem to recall when I did the interview with Michelle that I asked her, well, did you guys decide to go from like, you know, smallest dildo to biggest? Because, you know, I'm the sex educator pegging woman who's like, okay, you got to do this right. You got to start off with the smallest one and go to the biggest one because that's the way the ass is going to want it, right? And I think she said something about, well, no, we really didn't, but that's kind of how it worked out anyway. It just sort of worked out that way, that's awesome. And yes, you verified that by saying that the last one you got fucked with was definitely the biggest one. So I suppose this just goes to show you that you've got nothing to lose if you politely put out your fantasy and say, you know, this is something I've always wanted to do. And you didn't even say, does anybody want to help me with this? You just put it out there and said, has anyone else ever had fantasies like this? And boom. And what you closed with is so intensely important. That it is all about community. It is all about who you are, and you're known as a great person. And then within the community and with your friends and people who know you and people who know the people that know you, that's who steps up to the plate and says, you know what? I hear you're a really good guy and this sounds like a good time. Sure, I'll help you with that. That sounds fun. The consent form that you made was brilliant and very well thought out in terms of planning, because that gave you information. If you had to wait a month for that to happen, which clearly you did because you reserved the room a month ahead of time, you had those forms to read over and over and over again, checking it out. And I mean, that's what I would be doing. If I gave someone consent forms and said, what other things do you like? I would have been looking at those things and going, oh, this person likes that. And my fantasies would have just been consumed with all the potential things that could be happening. Wow. Good idea. Excellent idea. And also really important, because consent is really, really important, and it presents a different and more complicated challenge to try and get all those people to consent together, to agree on boundaries between all of you. So yeah, consent form, excellent idea. Okay, I'm reluctant to move on. I just want to keep talking about this, but I so appreciate you allowing me to read this on my podcast. It was a distinct pleasure, and I'm sure my listeners are really going to enjoy it. If this happens again, please do let us know. We'd love to hear the story from next time. Okay. Oh, and before we move on, I did want to mention that the under the bed restraint system that this young man mentions. So this is a really cleverly put together combination of nylon straps that basically go underneath the mattress and come out at the four corners or wherever you want to put them, two at the top, two at the bottom, whatever works for you. At the end of each strap is a Velcro handcuff, very comfortable, and will absolutely accommodate a king-size bed. Been there, tried that. And this is one of the first kinky things I ever got to play with when I started getting into the kink world. It works really, really well, and it's so much fun. Plus, think about it, you can take it anywhere you want. You could be using that under-the-bed restraint system in a hotel. You could use it at your mom and dad's house with your new husband. You could use it anywhere. That has a bed. Anywhere that has a bed. Okay, so that link is going to be in the Linkorama, everybody. Sport Sheets Under the Bed Restraint System. Let's see here. We're moving to... I got this message on Twitter. Me and my wife have just recently started using the lube shooters, but I'm having issues with it. It is great to help with getting started. Problem is that as soon as we're done and she withdraws from me, I have to immediately go to the bathroom. Before we started using the shooter, I never had this problem. However, until I could get fully ready, it was tough to take the Fun Factory share. With using the extra lube, it feels wonderful. I'm just terrified I'm going to have an accident and kill it for us. I've never douched, just the old-fashioned finger cleaning in the shower beforehand. Could this be the problem? Please help. So what I asked him when I responded was, what kind of loop shooters are you using? And I think he said he got them at Adam and Eve. And I said, yeah, those are crap. Don't use that. If you're going to use any kind of a loop shooter, just get the shooter mechanism, the little syringe jobby, right? And fill it up with the lube you know you don't react to, which of course you all know by now, I recommend Sliquid Silk. And here's why. Some of the cheaper lubes have glycerin in them. So when you go to the drugstore and you are looking for something to aid in constipation and they have suppositories there, do you know what's in those suppositories? Glycerin. So maybe there's not quite as much glycerin, or maybe there is. I don't know, compared between the suppositories and the lube. The point is that is something that is designed to really get your bowels moving. And it's kind of crazy to put glycerin in lube. So yes, that is one of the ingredients that lovely Tiffany from Entice Me has educated me should not be in lube. I love that she does all of the research and then she just tells me what the deal is. Whenever I have a question about something, I text her or call her and say, okay, what about this one? She's the authority in my world. It's really nice to have a resource like that. So anyway, I wrote this guy back and said, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to just use a shooter device and you need to put Sliquid Silk in there. So that's the kind of shooters he was using, and I didn't even bother to look up the ingredients from the Adam and Eve lube shooters because I can pretty much guarantee they're crap. But he also said they were using J.O. lube, and I've heard a lot of people say they really like J.O. lube, but I'm not really familiar with it, and so I looked it up. Here's the ingredients in that lube. Propylparaben and methylparaben, which are both bad. Parabens are bad. About 10% of the people react with a burning sensation because they're preservatives and they're not good to have inside you. Sodium carboxymethylcellulose, I think that's fine because cellulose is good, but the very next one is glycerin, and then water. So really there's not a lot in there, but methylparaben, propylparaben, glycerin, those are all bad. So anyway, I wrote him and told him about that and advised him to just use a lube that he knows is really a good lube and then see if that makes a difference. Sometimes just having the sensation of something sliding in and out of your ass, if you haven't done a lot of anal stimulation or pegging, will trigger the whole, I guess you could call it like the defecation response, because that's what happens is this is an automatic thing that happens in your body. It's controlled by your parasympathetic nervous system because it has to happen automatically. Otherwise, you'd have to really think about it every time you wanted to take a shit. And you don't really think about it until it is in the rectal canal and those signals go to your brain and go, oh, you have to find a bathroom. So, but everything up until that point happens automatically. Having the stimulation of that area could induce the peristalsis, which is like the muscles go in waves and make the excrement come out of the rectal canal. So it's possible that that is part of it too, but try the lube first and see how that goes. And thanks for the question. Okay, and look what we have now for you already. Pegging celebration time! My journey into prostate play and finally to pegging has been a long one. My wife of 16 years and I had been going through somewhat of a rut 2 years ago. With both of us working a lot, kids at home, and household duties, sex had been put onto the back burner for us for too long. Thinking that perhaps it was a downturn in libido, I went on a mission to make myself more attractive to her. I pitched in around the house, opened communication lines, and offered myself to her at any available time. Still, her libido was lower than mine. I had read somewhere that her birth control might be contributing to her low libido. I decided to have a vasectomy. Things were picking back up. We started our vanilla sex lives again. There was another problem looming, though. I developed DE, delayed ejaculating response, and it was a pretty bad case. Having an erection and lasting for 2 hours might sound like a good time in fantasy, but in reality where time is finite and both me and my wife get tired and sore, well, not so much. As you can imagine, it made her feel bad even though I told her it was not her at all, that even my solo play could take an hour or more. I was very frustrated, to say the least, so I started looking for things that might speed up the ability to orgasm. First, meditation, relaxation, communication, and lots of research later. I had discovered that by playing with my prostate, thank you, a Eneros vice, that not only could I orgasm faster, but the release was absolutely eye-crossing. Around this time, I discovered pegging, and that is when I found you. Dear sweet Ruby, the patron saint of pegging. I knew from that moment on what I wanted and began slowly exposing my love for anal play to my wife. First, I told her about the articles about prostate health and how a single ejaculation a day could help reduce cancer. She was on board and said I should do that even if she couldn't. I purchased her a Hitachi magic wand and we would have toy play nights together while kissing and just enjoying our toys and each other. I bought the Enjoy Pure wand to play with her G-spot, along with the Hitachi magic wand, and drove her crazy after she came back down from a toe-curling orgasm. I took the Pure wand and used the larger side while she watched. I took it in and began to massage myself with one hand, while the other barely stroked my cock, and she witnessed me have an incredible show-stopping orgasm. As of Tuesday, I purchased her some beautiful lingerie and made love to her like normal, and I was able to come. I had already ordered a beautiful harness and a Tantus P-spot dildo that I was practicing with in my alone time. Last night, I told her my fantasy and then handed over my phone and headphones for her to listen to podcast number 112. She got 3/4 through, pulled off the headphones, and asked, "Do you have a strap-on?" I smiled and produced it for her. She said, "Let's go then." Oh my God, Ruby, I had no idea that would be her reaction. I thought maybe she might have questions or worries, but no. I helped her into it, cleaned and lubed myself up, and before you know it, I was bent over the bed. Words cannot describe how wonderful it felt. She's a natural. Long rhythmic strokes building up like mad to an absolute fucking frenzy. We went at it for about 30 minutes, and she said she was getting a little tired. I asked her if we could do this once a week at least, and she smiled and said yes. So I laid her down, gave her a tremendous couple of orgasms before having the best one yet myself. Today, I feel wonderful, absolutely amazing. I do like that our bond is getting stronger, and I am not the least bit sore, just ready to do it again. Thank you, Ruby, for all of your good work, your research, and your passion. It helped me through a difficult time. Please keep it up. P.S. We had a few giggles last night together. My normally demure, quiet wife looks down at her strap-on, then smiles a bit and says, "I have a dick." And she promptly did a helicopter before laughing like a schoolgirl, which I did too. Yes, when you have one hanging there in front of you, why wouldn't you do a helicopter? Oh, I love doing helicopters, and they work best with dual-density dildos that actually kind of flop a bit. Oh, congratulations, you two. I have to say, I'm a little honored that she got 3/4 of the way through 112 and went, "Do you have one? Let's do this." That would be like the best response I could possibly think of for listening to that podcast. Clearly, she was already on board in her head, maybe been thinking about it, or is just really, really open-minded. But wow, kudos to her and to you for doing it so well, for approaching it so well. That's awesome. So, interesting feedback that a lot of prostate stimulation or some prostate stimulation helps your delayed ejaculation thing. So here's what I've heard from different men at different times regarding beginning to have the prostate stimulation, whether it's through solo play or from the pegging. I've heard men say, "Okay, since we started pegging, I feel like my cock is 10 years younger. It gets harder, it stays harder longer, and it's like I'm, you know, 20-something again, as opposed to fighting with it staying hard enough and lasting long enough. So what I find fascinating is that you are sort of speaking differently about it in terms of, okay, you lasted too long. And clearly you were hard when you lasted that long, but that wasn't what you wanted because, like you said, 2 hours of staying hard is like, no, this is no fun anymore. So the added stimulation of the prostate made everything work well and kicked you over that threshold. So it's almost like pegging acts as a normalizer. I've been trained in therapeutic herbalism, and there are herbs out there that are normalizers, like herbs that specifically target a certain area of the body, for example, the respiratory system. And rather than being an expectorant or having a particular thing that they do for the respiratory system, they just help to increase the health of the respiratory system. So that's the parallel that I was making in my head, was maybe pegging is sort of like it helps normalize the system a little bit better. It just helps everything work better down there. And part of the reason I think that might be, and I am just so, you know, throwing out the ideas here, I have no basis for this whatsoever, but I have always thought that part of the things that start happening in terms of not being able to get it up and the swollen prostate and all that kind of stuff happen because that prostate is in a state of stasis. There's just not enough fluid going through there. It's not well cleaned out because of either pelvic floor tension, pelvic floor dysfunction, all the muscles down there are really tight, or lack of use, or a combination of both, which is not that uncommon. So once you start getting in there and shaking things around and massaging things and having a lot more ejaculations, yeah, everything starts working better, which is amazing. So congratulations that you found such a lovely solution to your DE. And I want to give a shout out to the Ineros Vice. Yes, you mentioned that was instrumental in discovering that that pleasure could be had for your prostate. So I'm going to put a link to that in the Linkorama, as well as the often remarked upon Enjoy Pure Wand, one of my favorite toys. Yes, because as you mentioned, really good for her G-spot and really good for your P-spot. Absolutely. The Pure Wand is amazing. And looking at it, you wouldn't think so. But once you get it and try it out, it's like, holy moly. And it is for the vast majority of people who get one. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. It's filled with so much discovery and fun and awesome connection that you have with each other. It's well written. So I really appreciate you writing in, and I was happy to play that music for you. Happy pegging, you too. Okay, this was a short email I received. Hey, Ruby, I'm just curious. I enjoy very much my wife pegging me, but I don't know if she enjoys it like she says. I was wondering if there's a product that we can use that's not hard plastic or rubber. She can't use them. She claims it irritates her, and we have tried a water-based lube that she claims irritates her as well. Any advice would be appreciated. Thank you. Okay, so first of all, you want to get a lube that doesn't cause her any irritation, which it sounds like, you know, you are in the market for. Try Slickwood Silk. I'll put the link for that in the Linkorama. But the other thing you can use if she still has a reaction to that would be coconut oil. I mean, that takes it down to the basics. Just watch out for your sheets and things. But that is a perfectly acceptable lube to use if you're reacting to things, because I have heard of one person in the entire time I've been talking about Slickwood Silk, I ran across who does react to something in there, and he doesn't know what it is. Regardless, the other part of the formula would be the toys that you're using. You said hard plastic and rubber. Ideally, you would be using neither of those. Ideally, you would be using a toy that is 100% silicone. Okay, so if you don't have a toy that's 100% silicone, then you need to switch to that. And once you have the silicone toy and the lube, then do a few experiments. Just use the lube and put some inside of her and like play with her clit or something like that and see if she reacts to it, see if it irritates her. Because you don't give me a whole lot of information here, so I don't have enough to really zero in on what the problem might be. I don't know your ages, so excuse me if I'm off base here, but as women get older, they lose the ability to secrete enough lubrication, and also the vagina just tends to need more lubrication on a regular basis because it can't produce its own. So I have had people write in who have said using a moisturizer that is specifically intended to moisturize the vagina regularly has really helped eliminate painful intercourse or anything like that. So that is an option as well. That could be something that she needs. And you don't, since you don't mention what kind of toy, I don't know if it's a double, that part of it goes in her. I don't know where she's getting irritated. And the last part of the formula is the harness. So if the harness is really, really uncomfortable, then that might be part of the problem. So I would advise getting a really good fabric harness, just in case she's allergic to something in the leather. A fabric harness is pretty benign. So I'm going to also put a link to the spare parts harnesses that you have to choose from. Once you have all those three together and it's still irritating, then it is probably vaginal moisture and you should get a lube for that. I'll put one of those up there. Silikwood has a lube called Satin, which kind of makes me laugh because it's like, okay, you need to go buy this liquid silk and this liquid satin. Anyway, the Satin is described as a natural intimate moisturizer. This would be very good for older women who do not have enough moisture in their vagina, because if there's not enough moisture there a lot, then it can be painful to put anything in there. When you say it irritates her, man, I wish I had more information, because that's the critical piece of information. Where does it irritate her? Anyway, I've given you as much information as I can from the small amount of information you gave me. Good luck to you, and if you have any more questions, please feel free to write back. Okay, here is another one. Dear Ruby, listening to your podcast, and I have a comment about the finding a pegger first, or finding the woman first in podcast number 169. I met my wife on a dating website. It had multiple graphic questions about one's sexual history, so I went for it. Pegging, group sex, anal sex, etc. My theory is, if they freak, I am still anonymous, so who cares? Now I live in New York City, so there are lots of fish in the sea. I am an advocate of letting your freak flag fly. Don't stalk the ladies who have had the balls to let theirs fly if you're too scared to do it. And by the way, I married a woman from that site, and she fucks me regularly, among other adventures we have had. Love your work. Oh, that was an awesome one to get. So I responded and said, yeah, you know, I was on OkCupid for a while, and that has a lot of really specific questions about your sexuality, too. From my perspective, the questions were helpful to a point, as long as the potential partners who were contacting you took the time to actually look at the answers. Many didn't, and it brings up a phenomenon which I noticed. As a woman there who was honest about my sexuality in the questions, many guys sent messages who hadn't looked at my answers, and they didn't present as a good match for me in their answers combined with mine. You know, like they wanted a monogamous relationship, and they were really conservative sexually, and they were jealous. And when I pointed that out, they deny that they wanted the monogamy or whatever that didn't match with mine. They would just tell me they gave that answer so as not to scare away the women. And I was like, in other words, what they were doing is pretending to be something they weren't so as to attract more women. Okay, great, you're attracting more women. You're attracting more women who aren't compatible with you. And so then what? You start a relationship with a woman who is not sexually compatible with you because she's not kinky enough? Then you're going to be one of those people that ends up calling Dan Savage and complaining about the sexual incompatibility. I mean, good grief. So yes, it's very, very frustrating sometimes, these dating sites. I'm taking a break from all of them at this point. I mean, I'm on FetLife, and there's a bunch of kinky people on there, and I get approached pretty regularly, but at the same time, I'm not on any established dating sites like OkCupid or Match.com or Plenty of Fish or whatever. Just taking a break. Mostly because my level of kinky far exceeds other people's, and I don't mean that I'm off the charts with wild stuff. I mean, I suppose I would be considered that by a whole lot of people out there, but it's just that most of the kinky people are not on those places, and it's what I end up doing is attracting the guys who have been fantasizing about this their entire life, and then they find me and they go, oh my God, I want to do this, and okay, fine, honey, you want to do this, but you know what? I don't want to be a teacher and a facilitator every freaking time. This has turned into a Ruby rant, oh my God. I do totally agree with you that you need to let your freak flag fly. And one of my freak flags is that the fact that I'm fucking Ruby Rider. And so if you want to date me and you are all hidden about your sexuality, that makes it difficult for me. If you really want to date me, if you just want to have fun, that's one thing. But if you want to date me, then I need to be able to be who I am and not run around and act like we don't date, or that, you know, everything I do has to be hidden and that kind of shit. And yeah, I know discretion. I'm not going to go tell your grandma that I teach about how to fuck guys in the ass. However, there needs to be a certain level of openness because I am pretty out. So yeah, dating sites and all of that. Anyway, backtracking to where we were, I do think that it's very important to pursue the person. However, I think it's also important to be very open about what your kinks are, because that situation that I described on dating sites where guys put down what they think women want to hear, oh my God, do you know what a fucking waste of time that is? It's like so ridiculous. I mean, that's like me saying, oh, I want to have, I know the scales are severely imbalanced, and basically part of the reason that guys do that is because they just really want to date women and have some fun and get some sex, right? And they don't want to narrow their field in any way. But if you widen that field and you end up attracting women that you end up being really dissatisfied with, where does that get you? How about narrowing the field and just putting it out there, the things you're interested in? Like you said when you wrote in, person who wrote the letter, yes. Your theory being, if they freak, you're still anonymous, so who cares? Now, part of the reason why that works for you is because you do live in New York City, so there is a balance in there somewhere, but anyway, thank you for writing in, inspiring my rant, allowing me to revisit the pains of dealing with a dating website. Okay. So, one last thing I want to mention here before I sign off. So, like, no comments on my new music, seriously, that I play when I get a new patron? Because I think it's fucking hot. I think it's awesome to listen to. And I'm surprised that no one's even mentioned it. Holy crap. So, I hope you like it. It's here to stay. And with that, I will sign off. Oh, so also, one more toy I want to mention before I close here is there was a mention of magic wands in this podcast. And the magic wand has been around forever. As some of you know the story, some of you don't. It used to be the Hitachi magic wand. And as story has it, the Hitachi people really were unaware that it was used for women for vibrators. And when they found out just how ubiquitous the word, oh yeah, my wife's Hitachi was, right? They sold that part of the company because they couldn't hang. And the magic wand people have it now. And the magic wand people are selling it, and they have a rechargeable version, and it's all fine and everything. But at a recent conference, the Catalyst Con that happened in September here in Los Angeles area, I ran into Alicia Sinclair of B-Vibe, who is the manufacturer of the Le Wand. Now, her Le Wand is like a totally upgraded version of the magic wand. If you have Hitachi and it's an old thing, and maybe it's even a corded thing, and you are getting ready to replace it, or like mine, two of them, no less than two corded versions. I never had one of the cordless versions, but the corded versions I had two of, and both of them died because the part where the cord goes into the bottom of the vibrator basically pulled apart and was no good anymore. I mean, one time it kind of almost exploded. It was a very scary thing. Anyhow, I was anxious to try the cordless version, but I hadn't gotten a new one. And I ran into Alicia, and she gave me a Le Wand to try. Now, the Le Wand is a totally upgraded version of the magic wand. There's no doubt about it. It's sleeker. It purrs instead of vibrating like it's going to shake your hand off. And the range of vibration goes lower in terms of being more rumbly and higher. So she topped out at both ends of that scale. It's got 20 different vibrational patterns and 10 adjustments up and down in terms of intensity. So clearly it's an amazing new toy. I'm going to do a whole review on it now, but I wanted to give you a preview and also let you know I'm going to put a link for that in the Linkorama. Also, if it dies while you're using it, if it runs out of charge, you can plug it in and use it right then. You don't have to wait. It's not like your vibrator's not working anymore and you're shit out of luck. You just plug it in and use it. It's no problem. One last thing about it, it's got a silicone head. One of the complaints about the magic wand was that the head of it was of a material that was not sterilizable. So this is a pure silicone head. And there you go. I'm really happy with it so far. I have not had to charge it at all since I came back from the conference, and the conference was a few weeks ago. So, yes, lots of cool things about this. I'm pretty excited about it. It's awesome. Okay, that is finally it for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. If you order any toys from enticeme.com, because there's a lot of links this time to way cool toys, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. You can send your questions and your pictures to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too archaic, too arduous, or too amusing. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions or photos in my mailbox. Or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.